Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Anglo-Saxon England podcast. I just wanted to let you know that if you enjoy what I'm doing here, then it really helps me when you leave a review or a rating on the podcast provider that you're using to listen to this, when you subscribe to the show's YouTube channel, or when you become a supporter over on Patreon, where you can get access to bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, and transcripts by pledging to one of the show's patron tiers. And speaking of patrons, I wanted to give a shout out to Stephen Monty, Corey John, and Lexi M. Thank you so much for your support, and I hope that you're all enjoying the extra material that you now have access to. Hi listeners, I wanted to take a second to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode, Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, restaurant-quality, and dietitian-approved, and it's all ready to go in 2 minutes with minimal meal prep. I've had some fantastic meals like butter chicken and tomato risotto with Factor, and I've got to say I've been extremely impressed with all of them. They genuinely are restaurant quality. You'll get over 35 different options to choose from every week if you try out Factor, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, with pancakes, smoothies, and more, there's over 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and ready to go throughout the day. Factor also works around your schedule. You can order as little or as much as you need each week, and they even let you reschedule deliveries any time of when those unexpected somethings happen to pop up. And to top it all off, Factor is cheaper than ordering takeout, so it really is a smart move to try it out. Get started today and get after your goals. If you're interested in trying Factor, head to factormeals.com/anglo50 and use code anglo50 to get 50% off. That's code anglo50 at factormeals.com/anglo50 to get 50% off. What? I'm your host, Tom Kearns, and welcome to the Anglo-Saxon England podcast, episode 55, Athelhera and Athelwold. Following Anna's death at the hands of Mercian invaders in 653, East Anglia was left entirely at the mercy of King Penda and his forces. Having been put on the back foot by the dramatic events of the Mercian invasion, the East Anglians scrambled for any stability in the storm. They turned, hopeful for respite, to Athelhera, brother of the slain king. This Athelhera was no fool. He knew that his battered army stood no chance against Penda, and so he took the only path open to him, submission to Mercian overlordship. There is some hint that Athelhera's surviving brother, Athelwold, may have served as a sub-king at the same time, since Bede does refer to both Athelhera and Athelwold as successors of Anna. No other documentation survives from this period to confirm or deny this, but dividing the kingdom among surviving siblings could certainly have helped strengthen Penda's control of the East Angles by pitting the siblings against each other. Whether this was Penda's goal, and if it was, whether it succeeded, is a moot point, because Athelhera's reign was extremely brief anyway, lasting only from 653 to 655. In 655, if you think back to the episodes on Oswiu and Penda, the Mercians launched an invasion of Northumbria at the head of an army comprised of various sub-kings and Mercia's British allies, among them Athelhera and the contingent of East Anglians. If he was a client of the Mercians, then it is likely that Athelhera had no choice but to join the campaign. But even if he was not a client king, given Penda's track record of military success, it makes sense that Athelhera would choose to join the Mercians in the hope that he might keep them from again assaulting East Anglia. The forces of Mercia and Northumbria met on the banks of the River Winward, which had been swelled by recent rainfall, and a great battle was fought in which the Mercians suffered a shocking defeat. Penda was killed along with many of the sub-kings who marched with him. Athelhera was one of these kings who fell by Penda's side, either at the hands of the Northumbrian soldiers, or by being swept away in the Winward's rushing waters.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
History is the greatest adventure story. But does it ever leave you wondering what the women were doing all that time? This is Lori from the Her Half of History podcast, and the answer is that some women were seizing power, or escaping slavery, or spying for their country, or creating artistic masterpieces, while countless others were doing the laundry, getting married, and wondering why their clothes don't have more pockets. If you would like to hear the stories of women doing all of those things, check out Her Half of History at herhalfofhistory.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
After the death of Athelhera, East Anglia was left to Athelwold. It was now also free of the threat posed by Penda, as Mercia was now cowed by the installation of his son Peada as a puppet king to the Northumbrians. With the prospect of peace on the horizon, Athelwold was able to turn his attention to other matters. The most pressing had to do with the diversity of religious practice found among English Christians at this time. If you'll recall, the conversion of England was broadly affected by different groups in the north and the south. In the south, the Roman mission headed by Augustine of Canterbury was at the forefront of conversion efforts. In the north, following an abortive mission by Paulinus, the bulk of conversion was headed by Irish monks operating under the protection of Kings Oswald and Oswiu. In the Midlands and East Anglia, both of these missionary groups were active. East Anglia, for example, had close ties to Kent and Canterbury through marriages to Kentish royalty and the influence of the alliance with King Edwin. The main East Anglian bishopric at this time, Domoc, was also loyal to Canterbury. However, Siobert had also cultivated the presence of Irish missionaries, such as Fursey, and given them patronage to establish the monastery of Knobheresburg. It was this monastery that Anna had died defending in 653. With the death of the pagan Penda, Mercia and her surrounding tribal groups became fertile ground for conversion. To be clear, Penda had never persecuted Christians or prevented them from preaching. Indeed, he made no attempt to prevent his son Peada from becoming a Christian. But there was only so much a mission could do in a kingdom whose ruler remained pagan. So with Penda's death, there was a rush of missionaries into the English Midlands and the surrounding kingdoms. East Anglia, under Athelwold, played its own part in this rush. This is most clearly seen in the case of the East Saxons. Essex had a volatile history by this point of converting and then suffering pagan reaction. A similar reversion occurred when Siobert II, who had been converted under the direction of Oswiu, was murdered by the pagan Swithelm, who subsequently became King of Essex. This Swithelm, though, was eventually persuaded to receive baptism, but this time he was convinced under the influence of Athelwold, who invited the king to Rendlesham, where he became Swithelm's godfather. Around this same time, the tensions between the Irish and the Roman parties began to flare into conflict. Specifically, the superiority of Roman practice is believed to have been a motivation for a rebellion by Alfrith, son of Oswiu. This rebellion and the fears of instability it aroused spurred Oswiu to seek to settle the religious question once and for all. He did this by convening the Synod of Whitby in 663, at which it was decided that all of England would follow the Roman practice. Since Athelwold and the East Anglians were already officially loyal to Canterbury, Whitby served to strengthen their prestige. Most likely, the Irish monks in the kingdom were required to either adopt the new customs or be replaced by monks practicing the Roman customs. Besides the religious policy, it was also under Athelwold that the daughters of Unna began to play a prominent role in English history. It was Athelwold who brokered the marriage between his niece Athelthryth and Edfrith, the son of Oswiu, a prestigious marriage that also served to solidify Athelthryth's conviction that she wanted to become a nun, and which led eventually to the foundation of her abbey at Ely. It was also around this time that Wulfhere, the newly independent king of Mercia, married the daughter of Ceaxbur and King Eochenbert of Kent. Through this marriage, he was converted to Christianity, which eventually inspired him to found the monastery of Medeshamsteda, an abbey which made its local settlement wealthy, and which is today known as Peterborough. If you'll recall, Ceaxbur, the mother of Wulfhere's wife, was also a daughter of Unna, and therefore a member of Athelwald's kin. Besides this, we don't know very much about Athelwald's reign. It's not even entirely certain when or how he died, but by 664, East Anglia was ruled by a new king, Ealdwulf. It seems that Athelwald died childless, and this Ealdwulf was a descendant of a different branch of the Wulfingers dynasty. As things would play out, Ealdwulf would have a long and fairly successful reign, but it would also be the penultimate reign by a member of the Wulfingers dynasty in East Anglia, as their time in the sun would soon come to a sudden end. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Anglo-Saxon England podcast. I've been your host, Tom Kearns, and I hope you'll join me again next time.
Hey, podcast listeners, I'm Paul Brandis, introducing my podcast, Countdown to Dallas. It's a fascinating, in-depth look at the seemingly unconnected events that led to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's based on my book of the same title. In that book and in this podcast, I go all the way back to 1939, when Lee Harvey Oswald was born into a troubled and dysfunctional family. I'll follow his transient and often violent teenage years and young adulthood, painting a fuller picture of the man who would later become Kennedy's killer. I also take a look at events unfolding in that era, like Cuba and Vietnam, and I'll unpack the conspiracy theories too, not one of which has ever been conclusively proven. Subscribe to Countdown to Dallas at evergreenpodcasts.com or your favorite listening app, October 31st.